Sport on Sunday. This is Radio Yorkshire.
So what you don't realise if you listen to the podcast rather than the show live. Good afternoon, by the way, if you are listening live. It's 11 minutes past 12 on a Sunday afternoon. Hey, well, I turned into a DJ there. What happened there? That's not my usual voice. What the listener of the podcast realised is there's a montage at the start of the programme, but unlike Martin Kelmer, who's talented and has time to do things, I do have time, but I just can't be bothered putting together a new montage, so it's been the same for about 6 months. I should change that soon. Welcome to Sport on Sunday on Radio Yorkshire on this exciting day when teams in red play teams in blue. It's like Sabucho if you can't afford a decent set. These mornings about papers. If I could speak, it'd be good, wouldn't it? Show it to this to the radio awards next year where I can't speak. Sergio Aguero's picture dominates the back page of this morning's sports pages. After the striker's hat-trick, helped Manchester City thrash Watford 6-0 in the Premier League. This is the script today, which lasts a minute and 8 seconds. Let's see how... I've already done a minute and eight. I read the first paragraph. The Sunday Telegraph's headline is Class Act, with his manager, Pep Guardiola, calling him a club legend. Aguero is now just 3 goals away from becoming City's all-time top goalscorer. I'm sure we've done this on Spot on Sunday, pass him. But when did club goalscorer things become a thing that everyone cared about? Apart from fans of said club. There's all that brouhaha last year, wasn't there, with Wayne Rooney. Speaking of, there's always some brouhaha with Wayne Rooney. But if you're not a fan of the club, why would you care? It's like West Ham moving ground. We all had to go, oh, isn't it a shame the moving ground? I don't care. Just the ground, innit? The Sunday Express say Roy Hodgson looked shell-shocked after his first match in charge of Crystal Palace. Who are rubbish, listeners. They lost 1-0 at home to Southampton to become the first club in top flight history to lose all their opening 5 games without scoring. Yes, even Swindon Town didn't bother to do that. Shame old story is their headline. And speaking of shame, ladies and gentlemen, elsewhere, Harry Redknapp is out of a job at Championship side Birmingham after a 3-1 home defeat by Preston. The Mail on Sunday says he's set for almost £2 million in compensation after just 5 months in charge. Nice work if you can get it. There's no fool like an old fool, isn't there? You think back to the end of last season when Redknapp came in to replace Zola. I mean, what a ridiculous appointment Gianfranco Zola was in the first place. But they brought in Redknapp to try and save them. A kind of championship version of Sam Allardyce, if you will. At least Sam Allardyce was England manager for a couple of games. Oh, poor old Harry. Well, probably not with his £2 million. But then, you know, at the end of the season, he decides to stay on. It's like when Brian Smith saved Wakefield in the original £1 million game and then, you know, stayed with the club and then left after a few weeks where it all was going, yeah, belly up. That's the phrase we'll use. Well, he was right about the Catalan Kangaroos, wasn't he? Good to see Hull KR in their last home game of this season in a tribute to the last home game of last season by losing a big league late on. At least this year it didn't matter. Well done, the Robins, on promotion back to Super League. But back to Harry Redknapp. And it was interesting because immediately after the announcement of his sacking, yet to win a game this season at Birmingham City, bottom end of the championship. In fact, I tweeted the other day, wouldn't be a surprise if he got some kind of, needed some surgery or something like when he left QPR in a similar state. Harry Redknapp is the big media myth, isn't he? If you look at his CV, a couple of promotions here and there, won the FA Cup, of course, with Portsmouth. Portsmouth did well after that, didn't they? But, you know, he didn't win anything at Spurs, despite all the talent available. Of course, he created Gareth Bale, don't you know? The big media myth that is Harry Redknapp has to be the England manager, Harry Redknapp. Greatest manager not to be England manager. No, that's Brian Clough, sorry. The media who love him because they're always there taking the crumbs from the Redknapp table and the stories you see in the papers of the players he wants to sign. That's the first thing he came out with. He was straight on the radio last night after being sacked. To say, oh, if we'd have signed this fellow, we signed that fellow. He couldn't get a work permit for the captain of Nigeria. He didn't name the captain of Nigeria, nor the Ghanaian player he was going to sign. But well, I guess it doesn't matter, does it? Maybe Nico Crankyar was too busy. Where was Crouchy? And what a shame Defoe went to Bournemouth. But there he is. So, if we've got these transfers, and if we'd done this, and we'd done that. Never his fault. Never his fault, Harry Redknapp. You wonder why the press are so enthralled by a manager with a record of actually not much substance. Don't give Neil Warnock the same level of credibility, do they? I know he's spent less time in the top flight. He's had plenty of teams promoted through the divisions. Seems to be doing a good job at Cardiff. I like Neil. Good old Colin. So I'm sure Harry Redknapp will turn up some point soon. He's probably been on every single radio station this morning. We might be the only media outlet who hasn't got an interview with him today. Wouldn't it be a surprise. But it's never his fault, and all these apologists in the media will blame everyone else. Blame the owners at Birmingham. Blame this, blame that, blame the other. But it's not his tactics. Not the players he did sign or the players he sold. Somebody else's fault. Must be nice to have that kind of backing in the media. Speaking of the media, by the way. Tony Smith last week. Last Sunday, in fact. I wasn't here, was I? Tony Smith was announced that he'd be leaving Warrington at the end of this season after, is it 9 years in charge? Some Challenge Cups, a couple of grand finals, without victory, of course, because as we know, Warrington, it's always their year. But apparently this news was not good enough for our national public service broadcaster to have on their website. Because what was more important was people getting engaged at the Great North Run. I'm bored of these things. You know, if you're out there running, well done to you. If you're doing 5K, 10K, half marathons, marathons, whatever, well done. You know, you've got more gumption, certainly more energy than I have. I'm just lazy. I don't see the point. But well done to you. You're doing a positive thing. If you're raising money for charity, even better. Congratulations. Thank you very much. Should the Great North Run be on telly? No. Of course it shouldn't be. Should it be the main sports story above a long-time coach leaving a job that people actually care about? No, of course it shouldn't be. But this is the BBC obsession with what, in effect, I'm going to get pelters for this, fun runs. That's all it is. Get a participation medal. It's like being at junior school in a sports day. And that's not to denigrate you if you do go out there and run these things. Well done. But it shouldn't be on my television. It shouldn't take up all day. We can't show rugby league at a proper time. Can't do this, can't do that, but we can show 101 of these fun runs. Who, let's face it, after Mo Farah's won and whoever wins the other races, no one cares. It doesn't matter. It's not sport, it's participation. Well done. But it shouldn't be on my telly, and it's not more important than actual sports news. But hey, it's all about clickbait with the BBC these days, isn't it? The Sun, by the way, claims Spurs midfielder Dele Alli has opened talks with the club over a new deal. With reports, he's set to earn over £100,000 a week. Maybe he can get his name changed by Depol at the same time. And The Observer says the West Indies held their nerve to beat England in a one-off cricket T20 international last night in Durham. The tourists won by 21 runs. I watched a bit of that. I also saw the pictures from Philadelphia where they were playing Rugby Union. Saracens played Newcastle in front of a crowd of about 6,000 people. It looked very rubbish on the telly. It's amazing because rugby league crowds get slagged off when they have lots of empty seats. I wonder if the press will do the same for that little experiment. I'm sure you and I both know the answer.
Sport on Sunday on Radio Yorkshire.
At Radio _ Yorkshire. If you go there now, you can see a picture of a scarecrow. That's a Chris Kamara scarecrow. It's the Kirkengate Scarecrow Festival this weekend. Which is a village near Wakefield. You've got some time free this afternoon. Pop down there. It's quite good. Especially because there's a scarecrow of Chris Kamara. and Bruce Forsyth. And a very good one of Donald Trump. Which looks very lifelike. The hair doesn't look real. So, as I say, lifelike. And, even better than that, there's a Mexican hiding behind a wall. Which is quite good. What I'm talking about, what I was doing yesterday, went to watch Ossett Town play Atherton Collieries in the FA Cup second qualifying round, because I had a Saturday off, so I thought I'd go and watch some football. I usually, you know, if I was going to pick, I'd go watch Ossett Albion, but they weren't playing. They were away from home, so I went to Ossett Town. And because Aston Villa were playing Barnsley yesterday in the late kickoff, there were lots of Villa fans there in the first half. Their coach was parked about something. 0121, where's this coach from? And then there's all these Villa fans, well, not Birmingham fans, dear me, in the bar, enjoying themselves, singing songs with lots of rude words in, and generally creating an atmosphere at this important FA Cup second round tie. Obviously, Town won, Atherton Coyne's nil the final score. So they're in the third qualifying round hat, or whatever they use at FA headquarters these days. But all the drama came in the first half, and I missed it because I'd gone for a pie. But Ossett Town scored, and then some of the Villa fans, having imbibed themselves on the fine products available at the ground, and decided to invade the pitch, and one of them got thrown out. And I missed all this because I was queuing up for a pie. More fool me for trying to beat the queues, I guess, that I miss all this drama. But there you go. What can you do?
Sport, music and roast beef. Well, the first two will sort. Sport on Sunday. This is Radio Yorkshire.